From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're happy that you've joined us for Let the Bible Speak today. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled, God Proving Faith and Faith Proving God, part of this series on the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, that chapter known sometimes as Faith's Hall of Fame. The text is verses 17 through 19, which recount the ultimate test of Abraham's faith, God's command that he should offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Here is a vivid lesson in unreserved faith in God. So complete was Abraham's faith in God's promise of a seed that should bless the whole world, that he believed God could raise Isaac from the dead to fulfill it. Here is an important lesson for every believer, that God will test the faith of his people. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Our Lord Jesus is ever giving, and does not for a solitary instant withdraw his hand. As long as there is a vessel of grace not yet full to the brim, the oil shall not be stayed. He is a sun ever shining. He is manna always falling round the camp. He is a rock in the desert, ever sending out streams of life from his smitten side. The rain of his grace is always dropping. The river of his bounty is ever flowing, and the wellspring of his love is constantly overflowing. As the king can never die, so his grace can never fail. Daily we pluck his fruit, and daily his branches bend down to our hand with a fresh store of mercy. There are 7 feast days in his weeks, and as many as are the days, so many are the banquets in his years. Who has ever returned from his door unblessed? Who has ever risen from his table unsatisfied? His mercies are new every morning, and fresh every evening. Who can know the number of his benefits, or recount the list of his bounties? Every sand which drops from the glass of time is but the tardy follower of a myriad of mercies. The wings of our hours are covered with the silver of his kindness, and with the yellow gold of his affection. The river of time bears from the mountains of eternity the golden sands of his favor. The countless stars are but as the standard-bearers of a more innumerable host of blessings. Who can count the dust of the benefits which he bestows on Jacob, or tell the number of the fourth part of his mercies towards Israel? How shall my soul extol him who daily loadeth us with benefits, and who crowneth us with loving kindness? Oh, that my praise could be as ceaseless as his bounty! O miserable tongue, how canst thou be silent? Wake up, I pray thee, lest I call thee no more my glory, but by shame. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake right early.
Thank you.
Is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs, made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Continuing with our studies in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we come this morning to the verses 17 to 19. 17, 18, and 19 of Hebrews, chapter 11. The latest text for us as we continue to think upon the exploits of faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. There's no more heart-rending scene in the lives of all the great men of God in Scripture than the scene that we have read together in Genesis chapter 22. What the Lord asked of Abraham was unique, and it was uniquely trying for the man of God. I think sometimes that we read these passages of Scripture, the responses of great men to the commands of God, and we, in some way, divorce those men from human reality, as if they were not flesh and blood characters as we are, as if they didn't feel the way we feel. Abraham was a happy father with all a father's love and with all a father's inbred instinct to protect his son. In fact, in Abraham, that love and that instinct of protection must have been much deeper than it would be in fathers in other circumstances. Because Abraham was very much aware that he was the father of the faithful. That Isaac was peculiarly the son of God's promise. That in Isaac his seed was to be called. And that through Isaac the Messiah, the Savior of the world, was to come. And with that knowledge, the love and the protection of a father's heart must have been greatly increased in the case of Abraham. Isaac was dear to his heart, dearer than life itself. And now the Lord came, having given Isaac to him, and said that he was to put Isaac to death on the altar of sacrifice. We don't read of any murmuring on the part of Abraham. But that is not to say that he did not feel a natural and an acute distress. I believe that distress must have been peculiarly great. And yet, Abraham unhesitatingly set out to obey his God in the exercise of a powerful faith. The story of God's intervention on the top of Mount Moriah to deliver Isaac when he was at the very point of death in no way diminishes Abraham's wonderful faith and obedience. Abraham was tested to a degree that few men have ever been tested. And he came forth as gold tried in the fire, with his testimony enhanced, his usefulness deepened, and his faith strengthened. An old Plymouth Brethren missionary to India put it very well. Summing up Abraham, his obedience and faith, he said, Abraham, by faith, left all for God. He trusted all to God. He yielded all to God. And he found all in God. Genesis 22, the Lord was proving Abraham. And Abraham was proving the Lord. To me, that sums up the meaning, the significance for us of the words of our text this morning. I want us to consider this. The Lord proving our faith, and our faith proving the Lord. In the light of our text, we can make some very, very simple but far-reaching remarks. First and foremost, we should note that the Lord tests the faith of his people. In Genesis 22 and in the first verse, we have that bold statement that has caused so much problem of interpretation to many. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I, and then take thy son and offer him. The Lord did tempt Abraham. The question is, how can God tempt any man? Does not the Holy Ghost assure us that God does not tempt men to sin? I think that the crux of the matter is in this. The Lord does not and cannot tempt us to sin by any inducement to sin, by any encouragement to sin, or by any deceit that would lead us into sin. It is never the purpose of God to lead people into sin. That which tempts you to sin is not of God. But the Lord does test. The Lord does try his people and all the gifts and graces that he has given them as they are exercised in the lives of his people. You think of how the Lord tries and how the Lord tests. And this is very, very simple, but very, very practical. I think I should mention first that the Lord sometimes tries us by withdrawing the evidence of his grace and of his presence. We read of King Hezekiah in the second book of Chronicles that the Lord withdrew himself from him. The Lord left him to try him, to put him to the test. For a moment, the Lord withdrew the obvious evidence of his presence and of his grace, so that Hezekiah was placed in the position of having to show what his real heart was. The result of that in the life of a Christian is always to destroy his pride, his self-confidence, his self-reliance, and to show him that without Christ he can do nothing. The Lord never does withdraw his grace from a Christian. The Lord never does withdraw his presence. He says, I am with you always. But there are times when the evidences of those things are withdrawn. When the Lord takes away the joy and the sensibility of those things, so that you are left by naked faith to take your stand upon the assurance of his word rather than your feeling of his word. And in that period, the Lord destroys your pride, your self-reliance, your joy in mere sensation, and He roots your faith more strongly in His person and in His word. There are times that the Lord allows Satan to tempt us. We find this in the case of Job. The Lord, in sovereign wisdom, looking down upon the most perfect man in the world, the holiest of all men then on the earth, the greatest prayer warrior. Indeed, when God came to give a list of the three great prayer warriors, He named Job among them. He looked down in this holy praying man, and in His sovereign wisdom, He allowed the devil to tempt him. We find the same in the case of Peter. The Lord Jesus said, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But He says, I have prayed for you. The Lord allows His people at times to face peculiar temptations from the devil. And of course, at times, very frequently in fact, the Lord tests His people in that most common of all providences, the providence of affliction. You remember it was said to Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, that a sword would pass through her own heart. Providentially, her God, her Father, her protector, her Lord, brought her into the place where the sword of affliction was to pass through her heart. Now these are all immediate and great trials, tests that come into the life of the believer. They show what is in the man. They show the faith that is there. They show the grasp of divine things that that man has. They show his commitment to Christ. They separate the real from the mere apparent Christian. These are common things. And I suppose that America today, as common as anything, and more dangerous than most, is the fact that very often abundance is a greater trial than most other things. It's my experience, and I'm sure of this because the Bible certainly teaches it in the clearest of language, that in suffering, Christians become more spiritual. In sufferings, Christians, brought to the end of themselves, are driven to their knees. They're driven to cry out to God. It's then they want to prove the promises. It's then they want to walk humbly. It's then they walk circumspectly in suffering. But in abundance, it's very often a different matter.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.